Bonjour.
Welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights of all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris.
My name is Stéphane Vries.
And my name is Sara Bertelsson.
And this week, Paris is the world's most visited city, and the number of apartments rented out through Airbnb and other short stay sites has exploded in just a few years. Now the city wants to put it on hold.
And find out why the former French president François Hollande was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award this week.
But first, Macron in Africa. It's not his first trip to the continent. Actually, he did an internship in Nigeria when he was a student at the ENA.
He
has been there before. He also went to Mali quickly to visit the French troops. Shortly after his election. And now it's a full tour. Three countries this week. Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast for the European Union and the African Union summit. And the last lap is Ghana. Now, France's relationship with Africa is complicated, to say the least, but Macron looks like he would like to change the relationship, right?
Well, at least that's what he's saying. It is a complicated relationship. It's a very close relationship between France and Africa, of course, because of the historical bonds. I'm not what you should say, but, you know, the colonial... France was a colonial power in Africa, and even after these countries actually emerged as independent countries, France kept a very tight relationship, often by keeping close with the quite authoritarian leaders of these countries,
and you can say dictators. I think
you can say that, and also through businesses, French companies have had very, very strong influence in these countries, and many say that human rights and democracy has been put aside so that French interests can be met in these countries. So that is the background. Emmanuel Macron, as you said, on his trip in Africa, says that he now wants to change this. He says the France-Afrique history is over. It is no more. France-Afrique is then the France's Africa policy. Quite a negative term here in France.
Yeah. It's a system where there are a lot of ties between politicians and companies, between France and Africa, of course. And there's also, interestingly, a currency used by 14 Western and Central African states, the CFA, which is actually a common currency, just like the euro, but it is also tied to the euro, but it's managed by the French National Bank.
Many say this is a colonial heritage.
Exactly. And now, interestingly, Macron has said that he is not against changing this system or maybe even abolishing this CFA, the franc. So this is one of the signs that he may want to change. But then again, we remember Sarkozy 10 years ago in Africa. He also said he wanted to stop France-Afrique. I think even Chirac already said it.
Yeah, he's not the first president to say it.
And
many experts are saying the pure fact that he's actually doing this tour is a proof that France-Afrique is very much still alive. And, you can't say that there is no French Africa policy when you have, when you go on this kind of tour and you announce that there is no more.
He would not go to South America or to Asia to give these kinds of speeches. It's clearly that there is a historical link. Of course, a lot of those countries are still francophone as well. Changes a lot.
It is interesting though, his arrival was he wasn't very welcome from the beginning. There were some scuffles, there was some unrest just before he arrived, but then he was giving a speech at the university at Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso, and that was sort of a rock star.
And the students...
Rockstar, I don't know.
What I found interesting was that the students, of course, they respect him, but they were not really in awe with him. They just asked a lot of questions that you were probably never hear in France. So it was really interesting. Let's listen to a part of his speech there in Burkina Faso at the university.
Je suis d'une génération de Français pour qui Les crimes de la colonisation européenne sont incontestables et font partie de notre histoire. Je suis d'une génération où on ne vient pas dire à l'Afrique ce qu'elle doit faire, quelles sont les règles de l'état de droit.
So one of the things he said, Emmanuel Macron, is that he is from a generation that would not tell Africans what to do. He's a new generation and he will no longer dictate anything to Africans. But then again, I mean, the ties are still there. Like we mentioned, there are a lot of French companies investing heavily in that part of the world. There's still a lot of former African dictators living in Paris without being, living a pretty decent life. So these ties are there. How does Macron wants to end this?
Well, he just said that he will no longer, there will be an equal relationship between the two countries, and he put himself at the same levels as these students, which was kind of interesting. It's a kind of an Obama strategy, I think, he had when he met with these students, especially when he was saying he was saying, I'm the same generation as you are. He was not talking. He was talking to them as a force of creating, building the country, not that their leaders were the ones responsible for building the country. But I mean, I think it all will come down to what will be the effect, what will be the actual policy after all. Because I mean, of course, there will be some kind of relationship between Africa and France. But at the end of the day, I mean, he will be judged by his acts, not by his words, hopefully. So, I mean, I guess in a couple of years, we can see if this France-Afrique is actually dead or not.
Of course, it's the beginning of his presidency, beginning of his relation with Africa. But usually during a French presidency, there's always some kind of new war in that area. Then France sends troops because they consider it their duty. And then somehow it's always there, right? France-Afrique. But maybe, we don't know, maybe if Macron will change this. And this was his first tour this week to three African countries.
Well, we're staying with Macron, actually. We've been talking about his very, very bad approval ratings. He was, as we remember, elected, but for many an election, you know, he was standing against Marine Le Pen. So, you know, it was a vote, maybe not a pro vote for many. They voted against Le Pen, not necessarily for Macron. And he's been, you know, his approval ratings dropped quite heavily after the election. But it looks like now that he's actually gaining some steam.
Yeah, and nothing really changed in his popularity numbers. He went up 5 points, but I mean in his policy, well, we're not seeing any results yet. Unemployment went up again in September, the last statistics. But at least he's now more popular. His approval rating is at 46%. And interestingly enough, both on the with the socialists and the Republicans, his approval rating went up. So left and right, he is pleased by what he's doing. And his prime minister is even more popular than the president, Edouard Philippe. His approval rating is 50%, and that's the best approval rate. And that's the best approval rating for a prime minister since 2002.
It's interesting though, to see. I mean, I think that over the last weeks, we've seen a focus on Emmanuel Macron made this big speech on equal rights, on women's rights. Last week, this week has been focused on international issues. So maybe we can also say, then that's general, I think, that when it comes to international questions, Emmanuel Macron is more appreciated than when it comes to domestic policy.
Yeah, and maybe the French are starting to get used a little bit to their new president as well, because it's a very popular national sport to criticize anyone who's just in power for a couple of
president
weeks.
President bashing.
President bashing. And maybe now the French realize, well, maybe he's not that bad after all. It's not clear what the approval ratings of the rest of the government are.
Yeah, why so?
Because they're unknown. A poll last week showed that this is the most discrete government or unknown government of the Fifth Republic. A lot of the French people don't know who their ministers are. There was a poll by France Info and a news station here in France. They showed photos of ministers to people in the streets, and hardly anyone recognizes the other ministers. The most popular one, the best known, was Nicolas Hulot.
He's a former TV presenter.
Yeah, he's known from TV, and he's now the Minister of Ecology. He's also the most popular minister. And the second was Edouard Philippe, so the prime minister, and then all the other ministers, well.
More or less. You have to say as well that one of the pledges by Emmanuel Macron was to not pick these known politicians that we've seen here in France over the last decades, more or less, and to actually bring in new fresh blood and new people and people from the private sector as well, not only these
and
career politicians.
In their.
So maybe that could explain why, well, we haven't actually seen these people earlier.
Because they've been working.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. No, it's true. He took professionals. So the Minister of Culture, for instance, she is a publisher. The Minister of Health is a doctor.
No.
The Minister of Education is a teacher. Sounds very logical, but in France it's pretty rare. So all these people are, they're not really struggling to get well-known, except for Edouard Philippe, the Prime Minister. He made a surprise appearance this week in a Parisian theater.
You were there, Stefan.
I was there, yeah. It was totally a coincidence, but I was there indeed. He did a sort of a stand-up comedy at the end of a show in a Parisian theater, lasted about 7-8 minutes, where he told how he met Macron and how Macron was able to seduce him or to convince him to become his prime minister.
So tell us.
It was funny because he never really met Emmanuel Macron before being asked as becoming a prime minister. They had tea once and then a dinner at a friend's place, but that was all the relationship they had. And then one night between the two rounds of the presidential election, the secretary of Macron called Edouard Philippe, but who was then a member of Les Républicains, the Sarkozy's party.
The conservatives.
And he was there during a meeting about where they were discussing what to do because their election results were so bad. And so the secretary of Macron asked, should we send you a cab to pick you up where you are now? And he said, no, not here. So he gave a street somewhere in the area where he was.
Just a random address?
A random address, a random number. And then he went there to pick up, and he was in the front of the seat of the UDI, which is like the center-right party in France. So this guy should play a lottery. And then a car was sent, and he had to hide under a blanket. And he arrived at Emmanuel Macron's place, and there they discussed he was actually proposed becoming a prime minister. So
sounds like a scenario for a movie.
Yeah, that's what Edouard Philippe said himself, because a week later, the press got hold of the fact that he may become a prime minister. Maybe you remember this. So the press was downstairs at his apartment, and Edouard Philippe took a cab, and he was followed by a lot of press and cameras, and it was broadcasted live on TV.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah,
exactly.
And nobody knew where it was going.
the news channels were just following this car for minutes and minutes, and no one knew where he was actually going.
They thought he was going to Macron, and then he went to the House of Parliament, l'Assemblée, because he was an MP. He went inside. So that was that. The press thought, well, he's just doing his job as an MP, but he went out through a little door and he had to go under the seats again, and then he was driven to the Élysée. So Edouard Philippe...
Who said that politics is boring?
Yeah, well, Edouard Philippe said himself this week on Monday that his career as a secret agent was not lost. So it was pretty funny. It was touching to see Edouard Philippe in such a huge theater. There were like 1,500 people doing something that was not usually for politicians. So all these politicians and the new government, they are working. They're working hard, without a doubt, and they're also working to get a little bit better known with the French.
Vous écoutez SoFrench.
You are listening to SoFrench.
Now, we just mentioned Prime Minister Edouard Philippe, who did a stand-up comedy act in Paris earlier this week. Now, in general, French politicians are not known for their sense of humor.
They're more known for their, you know, they can recite a poem or...
Yeah, exactly.
They're very knowledge and literature.
They can debate, but, you know, unlike their British colleagues, they lack the wit and also the sense of self-mockery. Every now and then, MPs try to make jokes in the Assemblée, in the Parliament, but they are rarely funny, and it's basically not chic, actually, to make jokes out of yourself or other ones. But there is a French prize for political humor, nonetheless.
And
it was awarded this
and
week.
And it was awarded this week, exactly. And the former French President François Hollande. Now, this might come as a surprise to foreigners, especially because, you know, he's not known for his big charisma or, you know, shining, going through the TV set in that kind of the big charming prince. But here in France, he is actually known for being quite witty and funny and known for making a lot of jokes.
Yeah, and it was even seen when he was a president, even seen as a weakness because he was trying to make every time jokes. not always funny, but he's a...
Yeah, so he was awarded this Lifetime Achievement Award. Wow. Not only for, you know, his last year in action, but for his full
political
career.
Okay,
exactly. So let's take a listen to what he said, because he was actually there at the French press club to accept the award.
Yeah, because it's also an ironic prize. A lot of politicians don't even show up, but he did come.
Yeah.
Alors pour terminer, j'ai bien compris que c'était l'ensemble de mon œuvre qui était salué ce soir. Je parle de ce domaine-là. Mais je vais ici vous faire une révélation. Mon œuvre n'est pas achevée, au moins sur ce plan-là. Merci.
So there was a former French president François Hollande during his acceptance speech. What did he say, Sarah?
Well, yeah, well, so he briefly he says that, you know, I understand that it was my whole career that has been this being honored. At least that in that particular area. But he also said, I am not done yet.
Oh, that's a promise or a threat?
Exactly, we'll have to see.
What is he doing now, actually?
Well, you know, there he has been, we have maybe not seen a lot of him in media, but he has been pretty active since he left his office, we must say, because he hasn't left politics. He's been holding a lot of meetings with different people. He's been, having quite high level meetings. Alpha Condé, when we were speaking about Africa earlier, the head of the African Union. He also met with Alexis Tsipras, Greek leader. He's been meeting with European leaders. There is rumors that he will meet this weekend with Barack Obama, who is visiting Paris.
He's in town. Yeah.
He's in town. We will see what comes out of that. But they're saying that, you know, he's preparing a book. He's going to, you know, he's slightly involved in what's happening to the Socialist Party, which, as we know, has been going through some kind of crisis, to say the least. But that he's likely to be more, he wants to maybe be more involved on an international level.
So maybe he would like to have a job in Brussels.
Maybe. The succeed. UN is always tempting, I think, for former leaders as well. So, and then we have NATO as well. There are many opportunities, I'm sure. We'll see where he ends up. But to finish up on his humor side, actually his jokes go under a name here in France. They're called the Hollanderie.
Okay,
like a joke,
a witty remark.
Well, there's several. There's one that was kind of funny, I must say. At one point he said that I make all my decisions on my own with myself
in an interior dialogue.
Dialogue, exactly. Yeah.
So that was François Hollande receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award for his witty remarks during his political career.
Now, for any of our viewers who are thinking about visiting Paris, tourism has gone up this last year. It looks like 2017 is going to be the best year in a decade, I think, for tourism in the Paris region, at least. This after 2 years of catastrophic numbers of the terrorist threats and terrorist attacks. But as a tourist, you need somewhere to stay. And up until now, there has been a large and growing amount of Airbnb rentings across the town, across the city. But Paris City Hall is now trying to bring an end or at least limit the number of Airbnb rentings.
Yeah, as per this week, you will have to register online as a renter. So if you have a flat and you would like to rent it out. And if you don't, you risk...
You have to register at the City Hall.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you don't register and you do rent out your apartment on Airbnb or other online platforms, then you risk a fine of 50,000 euros. That's quite a hefty fine. Yeah, pretty expensive. And the new rule is there to control that landlords are not exceeding the 120-day legal limit set for renting out primary residences. So that's the place where you really live. I mean, there's also a lot of people who have just invested in those apartments to rent it out. And it's, of course, try to control the rent market in Paris, because renting an apartment in Paris is very expensive. It also believed that it could put an end to tenants who put their apartments on Airbnb without the permission of the owners. Mm. That also happens. So
the thing is, I mean, the number of Airbnb and other these kind of... rentals has completely exploded, and there are neighborhoods in Paris where, you know, there are fewer and fewer Parisians, actually.
Yeah.
Mostly it becomes like tourist, like big hotels, more or less. I think it's estimated that in the central area of Paris, 25% of the apartments are not housing Parisians, but they're housing tourists, actually.
Yeah, and it's much more profitable, of course, because if you rent out an apartment, maybe you can earn 1,000 euros a month. But if you rent it out like 20 nights for 100 euros, then it's 2,000 euros. So it's
but it's killing some of the neighborhoods.
Of course,
I can tell. I mean, I live in myself in one of these neighborhoods,
yeah.
And you know, I can have no problem finding a macaron for 2 euros and 50 cents. But you know, it's more and more difficult to find a decent grocery store, or yeah, you know, even a boulangerie that, you know, is not an exclusive boulangerie where you pay 5 euros for your baguette. So
yeah, no, absolutely, and it's a trend we're seeing in other cities in all over the world, and especially in the old cities in Europe, of course, with small centers where housing is very expensive. It's also, of course, threatening the country's hotel industry.
They've been lobbying very, very hard for this.
Absolutely. But I must say, the hotels in Paris are not expensive if you compare to Amsterdam or London or Stockholm. I mean, for 100 euros or 90 euros, you can have a very decent small hotel room, but a decent hotel room.
Absolutely.
So, and like you said, life is, you know, if tourists make up the biggest part of a neighborhood, then it changes. Supermarkets disappearing, etc. So the city now wants to control this. And even 120 days a year, that's about 4 months a year, so mm-hmm. a third of the year, it's not really an extreme measure if you compare it to other popular cities.
No, that's true. Actually, in New York, you can only rent 30 days a year. To be in the limits of the law.
So 1 month, yeah.
1 month, exactly. San Francisco and Amsterdam, 60 days, so 2 months.
Yeah.
And London, 90 days. And Berlin actually banned the whole thing altogether in 2016.
Yeah, so in Berlin, there's no Airbnb.
Well, I think there's still some Airbnb.
Yeah, illegal ones.
But,
yeah.
But you're actually not allowed to rent your apartment in that kind of way. And, you know, Paris has really been pushing through with this crackdown on these kind of rentals. They have set up a full team of controllers who walk around knocking at doors and making sure who is actually living in what apartment and if people are renting out without permission and all of that. And they have, over this, I think it was the first 4 months of the year, they fined for up to over 600,000 euros people who had these illegal Airbnb rentals.
Yeah. But you can still stay in an Airbnb in Paris. It's a nice way to visit the city. But
Paris is still very, very happy for its tourists.
Yeah, of course, of course. Paris is still the number one tourist destination in the world.
So now, speaking of tourism, tourists, as everybody else, but many come to Paris for some nice food.
Absolutely.
Paris, capital of the world, many say, of
gastronomy
and haute cuisine. And so what better place to find the world's best restaurants than Paris?
Yeah, and actually Guy Savoy, a very famous French chef, he has been voted the best in the world for the second consecutive year by the annual La Liste ranking. You can find it on laliste.com. That's a list that ranks the world's 1,000 best restaurants. And it's a ranking based on an aggregation of more than 500 reviews by food guides and critics. So it's actually a professional award.
Mm-hmm.
People who eat for their living.
Horrible
job. Somebody has to do it. But they have chosen the Guy Savoy restaurant in La Monnaie. It's on the left bank of the River Seine. Actually, quite a recent restaurant. Guy Savoy, of course, is a famous chef who has been working for many, many years on a very high level. But he opened a restaurant in La Monnaie, which was usually the place where they made the French franc coins and the euro coins. It's now a museum of contemporary art. And there's also a restaurant on the left bank. And he received an impressive 99.75% out of 100.
That's almost perfection.
Almost perfection. Have you ever been there?
No, I'm not. I'm still waiting for you to invite me.
Okay, well, let me count my money.
So, you know, it might take a little while before I will go there. 11-course tasting menu apparently goes for around 400 euros.
Okay. So with
I assume with 11 courses, you need some time as well.
And some wine as well.
And some wine probably to go with it. It's famous for its artichoke soup with black truffle and phyllo pastry mushroom brioche and cold steamed blue lobster. Doesn't that sound delicious?
Yeah, absolutely. And he wins from Le Bernardin in New York. And Kyubei in Tokyo, they had both the second place with a total of 99.5 points out of 100, so 0.25.
Probably not that bad.
Not that bad either.
And it's interesting in this listing because the Chinese are making an entrance to this list, and also Japan being the country with the most restaurants.
With the Michelin star, yeah, absolutely, especially Tokyo. So, but we're seeing indeed that, France used to be, of course, the mecca of food. That has changed this century. Spain, of course, Peru even has very good restaurants. But now, so France is taking the revenge, Guy Savoy. I don't know if you can reserve a table.
Have to be a couple of months in advance, I would assume.
Yeah, well, that's long enough at least to get all the money, to save the money. I think you need at least 1,000 euros to have a dinner with two there. Yeah, well, if you go there, think of us. Bon appétit. That's Guy Savoy in La Monnaie.
Wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter. It's at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn Radio application. And please share the podcast with your friends. And if you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just type in So French Podcast and you will find it. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, online and on air and on World Radio Paris.
We hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.